Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today, talking
sports radio on the dial.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. A special welcome to our Urban Daily audiences listening. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Thanks for joining us, and give us a call. Let's talk some sports. 718-664-9098. Like always, check us out at rayandtaytoday.com and email us your questions, comments. You know, we might have to get some on the air. We got some stuff about NBA free agency, Ray. Some emails have been backing up. So it's at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. So we're definitely excited. Like Ray said, the Urban Daily and Radio 1 affiliates joining us. Ray, the question is, man, and we got to give Rory McIlroy his props. He wins the Open Championship, the British Open. Is El Tigre, is Tiger Woods done? Will he ever win a major? Is he stuck at 14? Will he catch Jack, or is he done? Is Rory the new prince, the new cat's meow? Ray says what?
I say Rory is the real deal, and he's the new cat's meow.
Right.
At the same time, I think Tiger will win a few more, but I don't think he'll catch Jack. I don't think he'll win four more. I think he might win two or three more.
Wow,
so
fall short.
So tight in golf. The field is so tight in golf. Tiger's days of dominating are over. But, you know, he hasn't won in 6 years. 6 years he won that U.S. Open on the broken leg. But it's too tough. The competition, the field is too tough. There's only 4 a year, and nobody wins majors in their 40s. Nobody wins multiple majors in their 40s. So
and the competition's gotten better, too, would you say? You feel it's gotten a lot better?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And all the young kids follow Tiger's blueprint, right? Tiger used to go to the gym and get in shape,
right, these guys
and
shape.
Lift and run. Yeah. People didn't do that before Tiger. And all the young kids are following in his playbook.
Well, look, your point is well taken, right? I mean, Rory, he goes finish to finish. It gets close, but he's minus 17. Then you have Sergio Garcia, who's Tiger has beaten over the years at minus 15, tied with our boy
Ricky Fowler. Yeah.
Then you got Jim Furyk. You know, other guys are in there, but just the young guys, right? Adam Scott is tough. We know about Charles Schwartzel, Dustin Johnson. So I think you're right in terms of it will be a lot harder for Tiger to get four more just with the competition, let alone that he's injured and older. Even though you did say Tiger set the bar for being in shape, I think, well, so the competition's in shape and they're younger.
Right, and it could be that Tiger is in too good a shape, that he practices too much, that he puts too much torque on his knees and on his back, and he may drive himself too hard. He doesn't rest enough because Tiger's always out there golfing and always out there working on his swing, and he puts so much power into that swing that maybe it adds up thousands and thousands of swings that he takes.
Well, I'll tell you this. The golf audience and the ratings and the winners, Tiger has changed golf forever. The purses, the ratings, just the attendance at golf meets. I don't, you know, him and I would say he's a once-in-a-generational type of figure. I don't think golf, whether it's Rory or Adam Scott or any of these young guys, I don't think it will, you know, none of them, especially not even Rory, will have the impact that Tiger had. I don't think that will ever be repeated. I think like LeBron or Jordan, it could come close in the next, you know, 10, 20 years, if somebody's like so amazing and different and unique, but his dominance reigns supreme. I mean, Tiger's just ridiculous how dominant he's been.
Yeah, know? Not only his wins, his second places, his top fives, his top tens. I mean, he's really the player of his generation and maybe the player of all generations. So even if Rory McIlroy goes out and wins 7 majors, 10 majors, his accomplishment in the majors might come close to Tiger, but his impact on the game can't match Tiger. I mean, that's somebody has to come along that's really, really special to do that, and I don't think that person is alive, let alone playing on the tour right now.
Very, very, very good point. So let's spice it up. I got to ask you this. Everybody knows when you play golf, it's, you know, you have your four. So Ray and Tay figured we're going to pick in sports, coaches, players, anybody retired or not, announcers, whoever it is. Who are the three guys that Ray and Tay would go play with, you know, most fun, fascinating, just interesting guys? Ray, let's go one for one. Give me your first guy. Who's teeing up at Augusta with Tal Raesat?
All right. So first of all, I have no golfers because I cannot play golf at all, let alone with a golfer. So I can't.
Amen, brother.
So I said I got to take my three sports: baseball, football, and basketball. So I want one of each, one guy from each sport. So right now, it's particularly apropos. My first guy is Derek Jeter. I need to know from Derek Jeter how he managed in 20 years in New York to win 5 World Series, to be a 14-time All-Star, and in Sin City, I guess Vegas is Sin City, but New York is close, to never seem to get in trouble. How he was able to manage the media and manage the lifestyle, winning championships for the Yankees under the scrutiny and the spotlight, and still come to work every single day and run out every ground ball and play 100% heady professional baseball. So my first guy is Derek Jeter. Who's yours?
Okay. Well, you know what? I sort of, like you, have got different sports and no golfers, but I'll hold off my baseball guy. But I'm going to start off with my NBA guy. And it's sort of biased, but he's just the most fascinating person, talking head in the world. And I got to hang out with him and play golf with him. I'm taking Charles Barkley. He's my number one.
Okay.
And Charles is rolling with me. I got to find out about the Olympics, the friendship with Jordan, the playing with Dr. J and Moses, just all of it, just the experiences, all the controversy, just everything Charles. So that's my first guy. Who's your second?
Okay.
Who are you rolling with? Who's joining you and Jeter?
My second guy, I was going to go with all athletes, but there's a guy that I can't stand. He's almost like Larry Bird growing up. I can't stand him, but I have so much respect for him and his impact on the game. And so my NFL guy is not a player, but he's a coach. I'm rolling with Bill Belichick. I want to know from Bill how he was able to be the defensive coordinator on those dominant giant defensive teams, playing under or coaching under Bill Parcells, and how he's created, in the era of super free agency in the NFL, how he's created almost like a high school or a college system over there in New England. So I want to know how he gets it done, his knowledge on offense, his knowledge on defense, and how he just runs, commands the ship in New England. So my second guy is Bill Belichick.
Okay, I like that. You're getting very cerebral on me, Ray, with your guys. So like you, it's a non-player. He was a coach. And I'm going to hoops, baby, a primetime golfer, baby. I'm going with our man. He's spoken to us on Twitter. Dickie V is rolling with Eric T. Me, Barkley, and Dick Vitale. Vitale is my second. For those who don't know who he is, you must be a Martian. But Dick Vitale, basically the college basketball nut, fan, announcer, analyst, or guru on ESPN, and helped build the network, I would say.
I love it.
Dick Vitale is playing with me, man.
And
who's your final
golfs.
Guy?
I don't know how he golfs, but he brings a lot of energy.
Yeah, well, he probably golfs as good as me. Think
you
mean,
baby?
Who's your third?
Oh, man. My third guy is a guy that overcame a lot of obstacles, He's an NBA guy, overcame a lot of obstacles, was a champion, and he's had a really up and down post playing career, but he's still one of the smartest, toughest, most intriguing guys I've ever known about, read about, followed. My guy is Isaiah Thomas. How he went from the west side of Chicago to Indiana, playing for Bob Knight, coming out in 81, losing the or winning the national championship game, basically beating our Carolina team, and then turning around the fortunes of the Pistons, fighting tooth and nail to get past the Celtics, becoming the champion that he was, and then eventually, you know, being overthrown by Michael and the Bulls. But just at 6'1", he's probably not 5'11", 6 feet, being the little guy, just changing his game, being an offensive-oriented guy to being a defensive-oriented team leader, just all
that's
the things
Boogie.
He's been through. That's Ice Boogie. That's our guy. And that's our guy. And remember him on Arsenio? Well, he said, it ain't – you see the things he be doing? It ain't like we in high school when he was talking about Michael Jordan. But that's my guy, Isaiah Thomas. I'll always have respect for him as a player, as a just a tough, tough leader. I got to sit down and spend 4 hours on the golf course with Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, so to sum it up, Ray's going with Derek Jeter, Bill Belichick, Isaiah Thomas, and Tal Rayside. That would be fun.
That's me.
That'd be fun. I'd like to be the caddy for that. How about that? I'll be the caddy for you guys. That sounds
like
fun.
Who you got?
Well, my third guy, right, I'm going to the NFL. And I bounced around some guys. You know, I thought about some of my Steelers because, you know, I'm diehard Steelers. So I was like, ooh, Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swan. And then I thought about Franco. And then I thought about quarterbacks. Oh, would I want Manning or Drew Brees? And I was like, yeah, Bradshaw or Brees. But then, you know what? I decided to go to one of the most fascinating athletes ever. And he would have the connection with Barkley because he's an Auburn Tiger. And I'm talking about probably could have been one of the best football running backs and players ever, one of the best college football players ever, and an all-star MVP and a great baseball player. I would take Bo Jackson.
Wow.
I have to talk to Bo, find out about the injury, what could have been, just – you know, running over Bosworth and what it was to be, you know, who he was, Tribe Called Quest rapping about him on Arsenio, Bo knows this commercials, Bo was everything. And for you and I, when we grew up, you know, we were sort of young adults at that time, Bo was the man. We've seen and we have respected a lot of running backs and seen a lot of guys. Walter Payton included. We didn't see Jim Brown, but Ray, you and I both agree and know Bo Jackson was a bad man. So, Taze, what'd you say?
For all of our audiences listening in Alabama, keep in mind that Tay hooked up two War Eagles from Auburn University, two proud alums of Auburn.
Yeah. And you know what's
Bo
so funny
Jackson
about that? They call each other
Barkley.
Ray, they call each other number one and number two, who's the best athlete from Auburn of all time. So I would have fun with them talking about that and even talking about a little smack of, you know, like in Alabama and Michigan of college football. But I just think it would be fascinating. So I'd have Dickie V, Charles Barkley, Bo Jackson, and Eric Taylor, and I'd let you caddy too. That would be my four.
It.
So
that
would be
awesome.
Fun. I think it would be awesome, you know. Hey, Ray, let's switch it up, keep things moving. Before we get to the NBA, man, we got some football stuff, right? Training camp has officially opened over the weekend, and today the Giants and the Buffalo Bills are on their way and going. They have the first game, the Hall of Fame game, coming up in less than 2 weeks. And, you know, Chris Neid announced his retirement, so at 32, the center of the Giants, the son-in-law to Tom Coughlin, we pay our respects to him and wish him well. But, Ray, good news, David Wilson tweeted out that his neck is okay and he's cleared for everything, to practice, to play. So I thought that was kind of good news, you know?
Yeah, that's good news. He's a young, talented running back. If he can stop fumbling, but first you have to be healthy, right? The most important ability, I love that line by Trent Dilfer, the most important ability is availability. So especially in football, you know, you need to be on the field.
No, definitely, definitely. And one last thing, Ray, I got to tell you, you know who since the draft got the number one selling jersey in the whole NFL?
My
Johnny
man.
Manziel. Johnny Football, baby. Or as I like to call him now, Johnny Cleveland. You know? That's pretty interesting to me.
You know, he is going to sell jerseys for a few years, and then ultimately his play on the field is going to determine whether he becomes a megastar or if he's just a flash in the pan. I personally think he's going to do big things in the NFL, so sooner than later, he'll be on the field, and I might get me a Manziel jersey, too.
Woo, okay. That's pretty bold for a Cowboys fan. Yo, let's feel some beats. Let's rock out a little bit, and then let's talk a little bit of NBA free agency, trade rumors, and Ray and Tay's favorite, some summer league. Ray and Tay today, baby.
You're back. We're back to talk some sports. We're back to talk some NBA, some MLB. Let's do it.
Let me ask you, do you know who's in the championship game for the Summer League, Ray?
I do, but break it down for us because you are our Summer League guru.
I know you kind of know, but you don't really know. It is the Sacramento Kings versus the Houston Rockets. And the Rockets, oh, my goodness, Ray. Isaiah Cannon and Nick Johnson are like, we will be the backup one and two for the Rockets, and we're going to ball out. What's his name? Dantes Mantasunis, he's been balling out as the backup center. They got Luke Hancock playing the three, looking good from Louisville. And I like what the Rockets have been doing. Their guys are playing good. Tonight at 9 Eastern on NBA TV is the championship. But going against the Sacramento Kings, Ray, who have got a guy that I know you liked, who the Nets drafted, Marshawn Brooks. He is lights out shooting it. And what's funny is they have three shooting guards, and sometimes, Ray, they play all together and have been killing it for the Kings. So Nick Stauskas, who they drafted, last year's pick, your guy for Rookie of the Year, Ben McLemore, and Marshawn Brooks are tearing it up for the Sacramento Kings. So it should be a fun championship game. And I got to point out, in the semis last night, the Summer League MVP, they lost. But Otto Porter got busy, and Glenn Rice Jr. was named the MVP, and he's not even in the championship game. So that tells you how busy Glenn Rice Jr. has been getting for the Washington Wizards. So it's been fun.
Can I just say that I have a little bit of mixed emotions here whenever we start talking juniors and we remember – their father.
Their papa.
Tim Hardaway Jr. and Glenn Rice Jr. and all these other juniors.
The second team. He made the second team, right? So he was doing good, too.
But I'm saying we remember his father with the plantar fasciitis. We remember him at Michigan.
Don't talk about it.
1989, hey. Losing the championship. I should say winning the championship, but playing in that great – Final Four, yeah. First they beat Illinois, Marcus Liberty and the boys, and then they beat Seton Hall on that phantom foul call. And then Ramil Robinson goes out and hits those two free throws.
You're bringing back great memories. Great memories. You talk about fun. I got a couple things I got to ask you. Okay. Number one, I just got to make the comment because we talked about it with Seth Davis and draft after the draft. You know, I was upset about this. About some of the American college players not getting drafted. Well, this young gentleman was not drafted, but he's a Gator, Patrick Young. Because of his great play in summer league, he just signed a 2-year deal with the New Orleans Pelicans, and I applaud him. Go ahead, young man, make the league and get that contract. I'm real happy for him. But I got to ask you, Ray, do the Lakers trade Jordan Hill? We're talking NBA trade rumors. Jordan Hill and their young draft pick, who played pretty well in summer league, Julius Randle, for an up-and-coming star, young star point guard, Eric Bledsoe? What do you think?
I'm old school, and I always want size. So if you're telling me that your best player is Kobe Bryant, but he's probably got a year or two left, that means you need to find the next Kobe Bryant. The next Kobe Bryant is not Eric Bledsoe, not to disrespect him, but he's a good player. He's a very good player, up-and-coming player. So
right.
If he's not the next Isaiah Thomas, then to me, I don't think you can give up on size. I like Jordan Hill as a solid role player. Julius Randle, if he's healthy, to me, he's a multiple-year all-star. So if a tie, like in baseball, tie goes to the runner. So to me, tie goes to size. I don't think you ever trade away size unless you're getting Russell Westbrook or somebody like that who's a proven star. So to me, Eric Bledsoe's not a star. He's a very nice young player, might make a couple all-star teams. But no, I don't. I keep my size. I keep it in L.A., and I go out and get me a free agent in 2015 or 2016, but I don't give up on that size.
Okay, that's fair. And it looks like this week the Cavaliers are probably going to sign Wiggins, which means if they do, they can't trade him for 30 days in terms of the whole Kevin Love deal. Do you think maybe that's a smart strategy where they're like, okay, Minnesota, you want to play games, we'll sign him and then make you work or sweat it out to then say, you know what, we know we can't keep Love. Let's do the deal August 29th or something or whatever. What do you think about that?
I still have a sneaky suspicion that the Golden State Warriors are in there wheeling and dealing. So, and remember, Kevin Love is from Oregon and played that 1 year at UCLA. So he's a West Coast kid. A California kid at that, or at least went to school in California, and Golden State, San Francisco, I should say, is right there in the middle between Oregon and L.A. So to me, the Cavs better not play around, because if they really want Kevin Love, they better figure out how to get him there, because once the Golden State Warriors decide, I think Klay Thompson is the key piece. So if
they
do decide...
I think they're going to have to, Ray, give a pick, Barnes, and take back Kevin Martin. The Timberwolves want to dump Kevin Martin as well. And so I think that's what would have to do it. But they want to put Barnes in there instead of
I still think that the Warriors are a better team after that trade. So – all I'm saying is there's a viable competitor for Kevin Love. So Cleveland better not be too cute. If they want this guy, they better lock him down. Because remember, LeBron's only there for 2 years. So LeBron has shown that he'll bounce if he doesn't believe in the organization. So you better get Kevin Love. If Kevin Love's the plan, then you better get Kevin Love and stop playing cute.
Right. Don't be cutesy. Give up your best number one, Wiggins and Anthony Bennett, and if they want something else, you do that too. Like if they want Waiters and you have to take back Martin, then I think Cleveland better do it. Ray, hot off the presses, Evan Turner found a home. He signs with the Boston Celtics. What do you think about that?
Wow. You know, that's interesting. He seems like he's a Boston type, potentially. They have Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo in the backcourt there. So you figure
he could play with Jeff Green, possibly. They could both do a little 3-4 and back up Jeff Green at the starting three. They could play together as well.
Yeah, Evan Turner's a 2-3. I see him getting minutes at either position.
Right.
You know, he's a good role player. I think the curse of Evan Turner is that he was the Big Ten Player of the Year and he was the number 2 overall pick. So everybody has this notion of him as, you know, Kevin Durant was the number 1-2 pick overall, too. So people's expectations of him are too high. I think he's a very good role player. And so if you think of him in that respect, then Boston just added some talent.
Right. And as one of our favorite callers, Mike, might say, you know, they've got a bunch of average players, especially in the front court. So they might have to, like I said before, trade that Rondo chip to really get a star. But let's keep it moving. Let's finish strong and we got to talk some baseball. Ray was at the game. Our Yankees put it on the Cincinnati Reds, an old flashback of what, the 76 World Series? So what did you think about the Yankees? Right now, they're, what, three games back of the Baltimore Orioles and looking pretty good playing over 500 baseball at 50-47. What were your thoughts?
So I saw the game on Sunday at the stadium, and obviously I follow the Yankees every game, but I went to the game on Sunday. Kuroda was pitching, who's the only one of the starting rotation. So you realize four-fifths of the Yankees' opening day rotation is gone. Most of them for
the
year.
It's like there's a curse. It's like a
curse. It really is. Pitching was a strength, and now it, you know, is going away. Although Brandon McCarthy pitched great on Saturday, so he might be the new, you know, ace.
Got him out here. I sent him to New York
to
do good.
Yeah, he got out of there. He got out of that heat, you know. But the Yankees look good. The Yankees' offense is still a little anemic. I like the pitching. I like the fact that the rotation, especially the back end of the bullpen, so Betances and Robertson. I mean, these guys are pretty amazing, which is funny that they played the Reds, who have Broxton and Chapman. By the way, I saw Chapman throw. He ended up losing the game, but it was on a sun blooper that fell in between Jay Bruce and Skip Schumacher. So it really should have been an error. Bottom line is they should have got out of that ninth inning, the bottom of the ninth. The Yankees were kind of lucky, but this kid, Chapman, is unbelievable. He was throwing 101 from the windup, throwing 100 from the stretch.
Ray, he's one of my favorite pitchers, and you know he's on my fantasy baseball team, him and Johnny Cueto. I always will love the Cincinnati Reds. So you know how I feel.
That was their starter. Johnny Cueto pitched fairly well. He was their starter.
Exactly.
He gave up a couple of runs, but at the end of the day, he pitched like a number one starter should.
So let me ask you this: it looks like basically the number one wild card team is going to be the Anaheim Angels or the Oakland A's loser. These teams are running away with it in the AL West. The A's are 1.5 games up. They have like 10 games remaining with each other. But then when you look at number two, basically right now, one of the hottest teams in baseball, we're not giving them enough love, is the Seattle Mariners playing 531 baseball, and they're ahead of the Yankees and the Cleveland Indians, Ray, for that second wild card spot. What do you think about the Mariners' chances, man? They're looking like they're really ready to do it.
You know, I would
Robinson
really
Cano, baby.
I was about to say, I'd really hate it if in Derek Jeter's last year, he misses out on the playoffs to Seattle of all teams. I mean, if it's Kansas City or even Toronto or Cleveland, I can live with that. But if they trade, essentially they didn't sign him, but they basically give up on Cano to bring in McCann and Ellsbury and whatever, and they don't make the playoffs and Seattle does, oh, as a Yankee fan, I'd be devastated.
Well, not only that, Ray, on top of it, what if they do that and, like, in a couple of weeks they also trade for David Price to really solidify and bring home the fact that they'll make the playoffs and not us? That would really hurt.
Yeah, that would hurt. That would hurt. So we'll see. But, look, Seattle has as good a chance, if not better, than the Yankees, Cleveland, Kansas City. So that's for sure. Now, what about in the National League? So the National League, it's very hectic because –
yeah.
You've got San Fran and L.A. both, you know, fighting for the NL West. So the loser of that's going to be in the mix for the wild card. In the Central, you have St. Louis, Milwaukee, and Pittsburgh, essentially three of them all fighting for, you know, the NL Central. And the loser should have a very good chance at the wild card. And then even the AL East loser between – the NL East loser Washington and Atlanta should have a chance at the wild card. So really in the NL –
well, right
you
now
have,
they would be the favorite. Atlanta would be ahead of getting that second wild card of St. Louis by a smidge. So
yeah, by a smidge over St. Louis, by a smidge over Pittsburgh, by a smidge over the Dodgers. Okay. But they're all within a game and a half of each other.
Right. No. It's a great – this is why it was smart for baseball, right, to do the second wild card – just imagine the last month or two, you're going to be having the Cardinals, Pirates, maybe the Reds wake up and get in there, and then also the Braves battling for one spot, right? So four teams, at least four teams, because, you know, whoever the division winners are. But that's going to be amazing, man. That's
what
great
baseball.
What
does your gut tell you? What does your gut tell you about the NL?
I can't go against the Cardinals, Ray, because I just – look, Alan Craig yesterday, timely hitting against the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers might have – did the Dodgers pull the game out? I'm not sure. I can't remember last night.
No. St. Louis lost last night.
Okay, so – but, I mean, I just think the Cardinals – look, Holiday is playing great. Craig's getting it together. The pitching, Wainwright, I just think they got to, keep the bullpen in line. But I think the Cardinals, if they don't overtake Milwaukee, they'll definitely, be there at least in second. I think they could win the division. And then will Milwaukee hold on over the Pirates or Reds overtake them? And like you said, I think the Dodgers are going to probably beat the Giants, and then the Giants would probably get the second wild card. So I probably would go with the Giants and the Cardinals. Or Giants Pirates, if I don't know what's up with the Braves. I got a funny feeling they're not going to be able to keep it up.
All right. Well, the good thing is that they're about 97 games in, so we still have 62 games. I mean, that's a full, 2 months of baseball. So we got a lot of baseball to keep focusing on before football starts. So we'll keep our eye on MLB.
I'm getting hyped
about football on Ray and Tate.
Well, listen, on Friday's show, we'll start looking at these training camps. Everybody will, by this weekend, be in training camp, and we'll start breaking it down. And then next Monday with the Urban Daily audience, Ray, we'll have to start breaking down all the training camps and start previewing the fantasy football for all those who do fantasy football drafts, which is basically everybody and their mother. Because there are a lot of mothers and women that do fantasy football. So we'll give you all the tips and help you draft strategies. Because, look, Ray and I are both champions over, not like 20 moons ago. Over the last 3 years, we've both won multiple championships in money leagues and free leagues. So we're definitely experts. And we'll break it down for them, right?
Yes, for sure. So, all right, well, great show. I think
definitely.
We got a big Friday show for you. And then for the Urban Daily audience, we've got a big Monday show coming up next a week from today. So in the meantime, have a great sports week. Hope you had fun with Ray and Tay today, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, man, talking sports with friends. I got the Rockets beating the Kings tonight in the championship game in the Summer League.
Summer League. Leave it up to Tay.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening. We're out.
See ya.
Hey.